Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a great day today. And my, we had a wonderful, wonderful service last night with Evangelist John Hamlin and Dr. Shelton Smith, editor of Sword of the Lord newspaper, and a wonderful, wonderful stirring of God in our midst and decisions made for Christ, and what a marvelous time it was. And I hope you had, listen, I hope you can come out tonight if you can, Tuesday night, 6:30, and again, we'll do it all and ask God to meet with us again and to minister to each of our hearts, and just a great, great time with the people of God. And I hope you can join us for the services. Now, if your Bible's close by, John 19. And if you notice with me, one verse, this is Jesus on the cross, and they came to Jesus. They're going to break his legs, but they saw he was dead already. And then it says in verse 34, but one of the soldiers with his spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. In Oklahoma, someone saw this poster that was promoting the Red Cross blood drive. I gave blood, Christ gave his. I give a pint, he gave all. The needle is sharp, small. The nails were dull and large. The table soft, restful. The cross rough and painful. The nurses kind and gentle. The soldiers cruel and mean. The crowd applauds my sacrifice. But they that pass by reviled him. Mine is for O positive. His for positively all. Mine at best will prolong a life for a while, but his, without a doubt, can save all forever. Listen, the Bible, some have said the Bible's a bloody book. Another person said you can cut the Bible anywhere and it'll bleed. But I will note for you, my friend, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, blood is a major part of the picture. In Genesis 3, we find the first sacrifice. Adam and Eve sinned. God sacrificed animals to provide skins to cover their nakedness. And in the New Testament, we're told that the blood of Jesus Christ was the last sacrifice offered by God to cover us in the righteousness of Christ for our sin. Many of the old hymns talk about the blood of Jesus. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, in the precious blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, those hymns. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. What those hymns and others like it declares a story we've read in 19. It's about Jesus bleeding and suffering and death. Not just about why he suffered, but why he bled and why he died. Why did Jesus bleed? Why did he suffer? Why did he die? The Bible clearly teaches that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7 teaches us that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, has silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And where did Jesus shed his blood? Well, it's interesting, isn't it? In the final days there of his life, he shed his blood several times in the garden. He's praying and sweating, as it were, great drops of blood as he prays and pours his heart out to God. Then in Pilate's judgment hall, he'd been arrested and gone through several mock trials. He's brought to Pilate for the final time, and he's beaten with whips. that cat of nine tails with nine lashes there at the end of the whip, and whips embedded with bits of glass and bone that bite into the skin and tear into the muscles. His blood was shed. Then the soldiers mocked him. They placed a crown of long, sharp thorns upon his head and pushed it down until it drew blood. And later at Calvary, the soldiers drove the nails in his hands and another in his feet. Blood was shed. And again, when the Roman soldier pushed a spear into his side, and blood and water came out. Again and again and again, you see Jesus shed his blood for us. But that wasn't accidental. That was all planned. That was on purpose. It's interesting. I was reading about a pastor who was telling the story that before he became a pastor, he attended a secular college for a couple years. He took several classes that he thought would help him for when he went to Bible college, and some of those classes were in philosophy. Now, obviously, secular philosophy and Christianity are not always in agreement. I should say seldom in agreement. Christianity exalts Christ, and philosophy tends to exalt man. And philosophy tends to spend a fair amount of time undermining the faith of students whenever possible. In one class, this fellow relates, the professor said, Jesus didn't die on the cross, and I can prove it. And he went on to set up this premise. When a person dies, their heart stops pumping and gravity takes over. If you were to die right now, seated at your desk, your blood would drain to the lowest part of your body and settle somewhere around your waist. But the Bible says when Jesus died, a Roman soldier pierced his side with a spear and blood and water came out. Jesus was supposedly dead, nailed to a cross. And yet when he, quote, died, there was blood where there shouldn't have been blood. And that proves he didn't die. Well, the preacher said, admittedly, it shook me. And I went back to my dormitory room and had a talk with God. I said, Lord, he sounded pretty convincing. If I can't answer this, and if you can't give me an answer, I guess I'll go sell insurance. I can't justify spending my life preaching about a God I can't defend against accusations like this one. Now, that was probably pretty rude of him, but listen, God is gracious. And again, the fellow said, the pastor said, I didn't go to a preacher or a campus minister. I just asked God what he would do and what he wanted me to know. And I didn't have to wait very long. About a month or so, I was in another philosophy class. The class was over, and he says a few students were gathered around the teacher's desk. Wondering what they're talking about, I made my way into the group, just in time to hear the teacher say, I heard the most intriguing thing this last weekend. Do you remember where the Bible says that Jesus died on the cross? Well, that piqued my interest. He continued, do you remember where it said that a Roman soldier pierced his side and blood and water came out? Huh, now he really had my interest. There's a condition known as cardiac tamponade. It happens when a person undergoes enough stress in their life that their heart literally bursts from the strain. And when this happens, the blood from the heart mixes with the fluid in the sac that surrounds the heart, known as the pericardium. The fluid looks a lot like water. So if you were to pierce that sac after a person died of cardiac tamponade, you'd see come out what would be blood and water. Wow. Now, he said, that made sense. For a couple reasons. Number one, if I cut your arm, you bleed, but you wouldn't bleed blood and water, only blood. But the Bible says that when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sin, all the sins of mankind was brought to bear on his body in that one place at that one time. The only thing that held that body up under the strain was the power of the Son of God. But Jesus, when he died, he didn't die from the cross itself. Jesus said with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And when he said that, he gave up the ghost. So when Jesus gave up control over his body, it was like snapping a rubber band. All the sins of mankind bore down on that body that was no longer held by his power. And it makes sense that his heart burst. Boy, I was excited. The pastor said, this is good stuff. He said, it was the next year I went to Bible college. And I was determined to share this gem of knowledge with the professors there. But I found out there's a reason why Bible college professors are professors. They've heard most of this before. So when I mentioned this discovery to one of my professors, he replied, oh, it's even better than that. When Jesus died on the cross, he was placed on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At the temple, the first sacrifice was made at 9 o'clock in the morning. The last sacrifice was offered at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. See, Passover was a major day of sacrifice. People were lined up around the block to offer their lambs and other sacrifices to God. And with all that sacrificing, there's a lot of blood on the altar, the floors, the utensils. How do you think they removed all that blood? Well, they developed a technique where they would pump water up from underneath the temple. And they used the water to wash down the altar, the utensils, and the floor. This liquid then was carried by trenches out beneath the city walls into the Kidron Valley. The Kidron Brook ran between Jerusalem and the Garden of Gethsemane. People who visit the Holy Land will tell you that the banks of the Kidron are still red from all the blood from the many sacrifices over the centuries. Farmers would go to the Kidron and collect mud from its banks to spread in their fields because it was rich fertilizer for their crops. And if you'd have been standing outside the walls of Jerusalem about 3:30 in the afternoon, what do you think you would have seen coming out of those pipes? Blood and water. See, the Spirit of God had John write about seeing blood and water come out of the side of Jesus. Why? Why? Because Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. Jesus knew, or John knew, and the Spirit of God knew, obviously, that the kind of lamb would be unacceptable to God if his bones were broken. That's why they saw that he was dead already. They didn't break his bones. So they said, we see Jesus is dead. And John says, I saw him pierce his side, and I saw the blood and the water come out. So we might believe. Believe what? What John said over in John 20. He said, I'm writing that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He wrote that you and I might believe that this isn't just a story. This isn't just an accident of history, Jesus' death on the cross. It was planned and it was deliberate. It was so the scriptures would be fulfilled. John 19, verse 36. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. It was all prophesied, decided centuries before Jesus was even born. But why? Why was it prophesied? Why was it planned? Well, we're going to have to come back tomorrow to find that out, all right? Time is up for today. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you in church tonight and some of you back here on the broadcast tomorrow. And until then, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.